That's right, folks. Fantasy football playoffs are upon us. And today, we're going to be talking about the key must-have handcuffs that you need on your rosters for that playoff push. Players like Alexander Mattison is going to be involved in this discussion today. We're going to break down not only just your running back handcuffs. We're going to talk today about wide receivers, tight ends. We're also going to talk about some potential players that are highly owned that you could drop on your rosters. Before we do, we want to make sure you follow us at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. Go check it out. We have daily content over on the social medias. We also have Twitter as well, at Razzball. We also want to make sure you're going to Razzball.com. We have fantastic resources over on Razzball right now, folks. We have the slot versus wide rest of season tool that you can check out who has the best rest of season schedules. We have the weekly matchup tool. We have adjusted line yards matchup metric. We have everything you need to win your fantasy leagues every single week and the rest of the season. And of course, make sure you're joining us every Sunday live. That's right, on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. We jump on for 2 hours to close out the season with you, talk about all your start sit questions. We're also going to be talking about slot versus wide starts of the week, streamers. We're also going to be breaking down injuries, weather reports, everything you need to know before kickoff. But today, let's talk handcuffs and let's start the show. That's right, folks. I shelled out the big bucks, and that's why I have my main man, Sky Gawasco. You can follow him at Sky Gawasco on Twitter. What's going on, Sky?
Nothing like a little overtime pay on a Friday from Razzball. You know what I mean? You're like, hey, Sky, I need the big guns. You know, here's our budget. I was like, Bob, for you, you know, cut it down a little bit. Get a little weekend scratch, holiday seasons. Start stashing the stockings. So happy to be here, my man.
Now, Sky, prior to Razzball, I would have said I'm your handcuff when we did TCK, but I feel like you're my handcuff now at Razzball. This is nice. Yeah. Like you're like the first guys we're going to talk about in this section. So today's episode, we have a bunch of different sections, not just by position, but we also want to talk briefly about the highly owned handcuffs/not handcuffs in today's show. And this list is basically guys that are probably 1B backs more likely than handcuffs, and they're highly owned in most leagues, so they're probably not going to be available. However, we do want to bring it up because today's show is about every league. You could be in an 8-team league. You could be in a 10-team league that has shallow benches, that some of these guys might be available, and we're also going to talk at the end about some players to drop. So let's start breaking this down right now, Scott. I'm going to go through this list really quick, and then I'm going to get your feedback on maybe one or two guys that you want to talk about. So I always recommend if you listen to the audio side, we have visuals. You get to see Sky's beautiful beard, my beautiful whatever I got going on in my chin, and it's just a lot of fun. I've got some graphics for you. But here's some of the key guys we want to talk about in the highly owned handcuffs or not handcuffs section. Of course, we have the Dallas Cowboys backfield with Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard. I think at this point, we both can say that if you haven't traded for Pollard or Zeke, if you have one of those guys, you're not going to find them on waivers. It's going to be tough to find them. But if you still have a trade deadline that's this week and you're in it and you're thinking maybe I want to just lock up that backfield, not a bad idea. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt is one of those prior to the season. Kareem Hunt probably mostly owned in a lot of leagues, but I have a 10-team league right now that Kareem Hunt is available. So go check your waiver wires. If you're a Nick Chubb owner and Nick Chubb goes down, I could promise you, you'll probably want to start Kareem Hunt than 90% of the running backs in fantasy football. You have Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. We know about this situation in Detroit. Williams getting a lot of the work there. You also have Justin Jackson floating around, but it's going to be really tough to pry Swift away in that scenario. You also have Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. Who would have thought those two guys would have flipped? But it looks like Stevenson's the main guy. Harris, don't forget the name, guys. He's probably a lot cheaper to acquire right now. And maybe because of the injuries over the last few weeks, he might have slipped onto waivers. We have Leonard Fournette and Rashad White. I don't think it's going to be impossible to get either one of these guys. Maybe it might be easier for the White owner to get Fournette at this point. But also, just the way they use their backfield this whole season, it's been a split for the most part. But I do like the fact that, you know, I still believe in Fournette to an extent. I think he's still going to get a lot of work in that offense. We have Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson. Gibson's dealing with a little bit of an injury this week, but just be on the look out the waiver wire for those guys as well. Gus Edwards, Kenyon Drake, and of course, J.K. Dobbins, who is not pictured here. We have J.K. Dobbins coming back too. If you have Gus Edwards, might not be a bad idea to scoop up J.K. Dobbins just to see that great Ravens run on offense could be a thing down the stretch. Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. Mostert's available in some of the shallower leagues. If you're a Jeff Wilson owner, he looks like he has taken over the league guy, but I would like to take Mostert as well if I have that option. Cordell Patterson and Tyler Algier, that backfield's a little bit of a mess in my opinion. Probably not even concerned. If Patterson goes down, they still used multiple backs even when he was out, but Algier would probably be the lead guy in that scenario. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon has not been there all year long. He's not been good all year long for fantasy, but if Aaron Jones went down, A.J. Dillon has been known to take a full workhorse role. You got Foreman and Chuba Hubbard. I don't think Hubbard would be the full-time back. They do have a rookie out there as well, so I don't know if he'll be the full-time guy. You got Cam Akers and Kyren Williams, who at this point, we don't even know, and I know you want to talk about that for a second, who's actually the lead guy there. We have Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine. Now, if you have Samaje Perine on waivers, go get him now because Mixon has not cleared concussion protocol just yet. Could get another spot start from this guy who, by the way, looked fantastic last week in a tougher matchup in this game. You also have Michael Carter and Zonovan Knight. Zonovan Knight actually looked very good. He actually took over when Michael Carter went down. James Robinson's still there, but I think Knight has earned that next spot up. So if you're a Michael Carter owner, Knight might not be a bad guy to stash in. And the final one in this section is Isaiah Pacheco and Melvin Gordon. I think Jerick McKinnon will still keep that. You know, he plays some base back role anyway, but I think he'll keep that role. If something happens to Pacheco, Melvin Gordon might be the next guy up and worth someone stashing if you're a Pacheco owner. Sky, give us one or two that you want to talk about in this section.
Yeah, the interesting thing, first takeaway here on this entire list is you think about preseason, right? And we know about like Pollard taking over for Zeke. We've seen that happen. And Jamal Williams is straight up just taking over for DeAndre Swift. But there's some other names on here that like preseason, they were definite handcuffs, definite starters. And those names have at least kind of come 50-50 or they've taken over here. So Kareem Hunt obviously hasn't blossomed, but still primary handcuff just in case. Alexander Mattison, same thing. But the first one I want to talk about here is Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson. Now, preseason, you know, obviously Brian Robinson literally got shot in the leg a couple of days before draft for fantasy, and a lot of people weren't willing to take the risk on him, especially in redraft leagues. But those of you that did or just picked him up on waivers, since he's been healthy, he's been maybe not the lead back just yet, but he's certainly been more efficient than Antonio Gibson. And Antonio Gibson has been kind of up and down in his couple years with Washington, but, you know, fine when they give him enough work. But what's interesting is over the last five games, Brian Robinson's actually gotten more carries than Antonio Gibson, but Antonio Gibson remains to get, you know, 3 to 5 targets per game, which Brian Robinson just isn't getting. They're both scoring. This offense isn't amazing. They've had quarterback troubles, of course, but when they get into the red zone, it has been running back, running back, running back. It's not the tight ends with Logan Thomas. You and I were both hoping for that preseason. It's not been Terry McLaurin. It's not been Curtis Samuel, my boy De'Ami Brown. It's been the running back. So these guys have both kept themselves afloat, but in PPR leagues, it's been Antonio Gibson. In half or standard, it's been more Brian Robinson. But I would argue that Brian Robinson from now on is actually the starter. Maybe Gibson is a handcuff, but these guys are really 50-50. So I'm happy to have either one of these guys on my team. And I think in redraft leagues, Antonio Gibson is easier to get right now than Brian Robinson, and certainly in Dynasty as well. But do just understand that both these guys are going to kind of vulture each other. But I also think that they both have pretty decent floors with limited ceiling, but Brian Robinson's got a bigger weekly upside, and I think Gibson's got a better weekly floor.
Quickly about Kyren Williams and Cam Akers, do you have any thoughts about Williams' usage over the last couple weeks? Do you think he's probably the better owned guy? Would you, if they're both on waivers, would you rather have Williams over Akers?
100%. And actually, I've just completed a trade to get Kyren Williams. And I have another person looking to get Kyren Williams from me in another league in a trade as well, with the last minute trade deadlines coming up here before the playoffs. So yes, I would rather have Kyren Williams. And I think a big thing, Bob, and you and I talk about this all the time, football aside, just for a second, this is a lot of like clubhouse guy stuff. Like the Rams are now, I would say, maybe quote unquote stuck with Cam Akers at this point for the end of the season, but they literally openly tried to trade him a few weeks ago, didn't want to drop him because of the talent. So now that they have him, Kyren Williams is the guy that's getting the work. Now he's only been active for 3 games. He had 1 carry, 8 carries, 11 carries. It hasn't been super impressive per se, but he's getting more work over those 3 games. 70% snap share last game. Cam Akers has averaged 35% snap share since week 11. So over the last couple of weeks, it's actually flipped quite a bit. If Kyren Williams is able to pick up the pace and keep the ability in this dreadful Rams offense that, by the way, won't have Matt Stafford again this week. So I expect them. He cleared protocol, but McVay's going to keep him out against Seattle. And then they have a bye week. So it's they're both kind of a mess. But again, it's Cam Akers is the name. Kyron Williams is a dynasty guy. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think he's a redraft guy, and I think he's a guy, if the Rams can pick this up a little bit down the stretch, he's a free dude on waivers most likely. I picked him up twice on waivers. Traded for him in another league, and another guy's trying to trade for him here. So hot commodity, get him while you can.
Yeah, John Wolford will get to start this week too, which is better news for those pass catchers, a little bit more of a pass-oriented offense than you would see with Bryce Perkins. So there's some silver lining. All right, let's talk about the real handcuffs. These are guys – well, actually, when I went on to Yahoo, I checked, this is what I used for this. There was actually they're actually 40% or less owned on Yahoo. So there's some key guys here that could be legit league winners. The first one that jumps off the page is James Cook. Obviously, that's going to change right away. Everyone saw the Thursday night game, the Island game. James Cook looked like the better runner. Listen, Devin Singletary does what he does. He gets you 4 to 5 yards every run. He's good in the goal line. He's very slippery. But James Cook is a different level of explosion. I think he offers some standalone value in that backfield as well. But if you're a Devin Singletary owner and James Cook's available, not a bad idea to scoop him up. Next one on the list is Jonathan Taylor with Deion Jackson. Deion Jackson showed a lot in his spot starts already this season, and Jonathan Taylor already dealing with some injuries earlier this year. Not a bad idea to scoop him up. Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. DT, before he left us for his journey for rejuvenation, said in his buy-sell-hold video with Donkey Teeth Anime Donkey that the player to hold on to is Alexander Mattison. Why? Because every year around week 14, Dalvin Cook goes down. If you have Dalvin Cook and don't have Alexander Mattison, shame on you. One of my sleeper ones and one of my favorites is actually James Conner and then Keontae Ingram, whatever his name is. Ingram is someone that I think is a must-have just because of James Conner's role. He's one of the most highly utilized running backs when he's healthy, and that role has passed down to his backups. We saw with Eno Benjamin earlier this year, so I do like Ingram as well as a must-have handcuff. Travis Etienne, you know, dealing with the foot injury from last week. We saw Jamichael Hasty play decently. We know of Dal Henderson being there, someone that's worth noting as well. Isaiah Spiller for Austin Eckler owners. Now, if you're an Austin Eckler owner, Spiller was the guy early on in the year that we thought he was going to be the guy. Then he got hurt. But over the last few weeks, he does look like to be the 1B back there. So I do like Spiller. The one that I'm interested to get your thoughts on here, Sky, is CMC. And then with Elijah Mitchell officially out with CMC's injury, who do you feel more confident or TDP, which is Tyron Davis Price or Jordan Mason? So why don't you know, I'm going to stop there before I go through this list. Let's get your thoughts right now on the CMC backup handcuff situation.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're not going to play any of these guys as long as CMC is healthy. But for me, it's actually going to be Jordan Mason, who nobody knew about until 2 weeks ago. And, you know, TDP is supposed to be the guy, and he probably is maybe. But to be honest with you, I think Mason has more explosion, in my opinion. UDFA is not exciting as a prospect necessarily, but came in with limited work when Elijah Mitchell went down. And every year, you know, Shanahan, we 49ers, Shanahan always kind of bolsters the running backs with multiple guys, right? I mean, we're still waiting for Sermon and these kind of guys, right? Jamichael Hasty was that dude. He's now gone. We wait for these lower level dudes to see if they can work out. And they generally don't for various reasons. And I worry that Tyrion Davis Price is going to be that guy. Bigger name in the locker room, bigger name of the prospect handle. But I think Jordan Mason just fits the system better. So neither one of these guys is relevant at all with CMC healthy. Now, I don't think they're going to use either one of these guys much like they used Elijah Mitchell, but I do think that Jordan Mason could have like 20-30% more active touches than TDP coming down the stretch to keep CMC healthy. So I don't want to start these guys at all. But if I was going to have either one of these free handcuffs, I personally want Jordan Mason, just knowing what he means to the 49ers right now over TDP. Now in Dynasty, maybe Tyrion Davis Price is a better guy if he develops because they have him sooner. But if I had to have somebody behind CMC, it's going to be Jordan Mason right now for the 49ers. But again, you're not starting anybody anytime soon, but he's the dude that I would want if I'm looking for a 49er handcuff.
TDP averaging 2.3 yards per carry. That is half of what Mason is at 4.6. So maybe you're onto something there, my friend. The next one I want to talk about quickly is Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren coming off the injury, I think a lot of the Benny Snell hype last week, I think McFarland, people forgot about Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren's the guy. Go scoop him up. Najee Harris now dealing with injuries himself. And Harris has looked better. He has looked a lot better. That offensive line has looked better in the run game. So there could be something there. I think he's kind of one of my top 10 guys you want to get as well. Next one is Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell. I do think Boston Scott will be involved. He's not the highest guy on my list necessarily. I think Boston Scott would take over a lot of that base work, but Kenny Gainwell would probably get a little bit more if Miles Sanders was out. One of the underrated ones, I think, is Derrick Henry and Dontrell Hilliard. Now, Dontrell Hilliard last year split time with Devonta Foreman. Hilliard had a lot of big games on the ground as well, but he also gets some passing game work. But if you give him 10 carries and a 4 to 5 catches, you're looking at a very nice flex play if Derrick Henry went down. David Montgomery and Travis Ebner is someone else that I think is someone interesting. The rookie, you got no I can forget his name. Who's the Bears running back that got hurt? I can't remember his name right now.
Khalil Herbert.
Khalil Herbert, thank you very much. David Montgomery, big-time workload. This guy gets a heavy workload. So if he went down with no Herbert, Ebner could be into a big role. Who would have thought I would have said this going into the season? What about Latavius Murray's handcuff? That's right. Not Latavius Murray as the handcuff. His handcuff is Mike Boone. I think Mike Boone is someone that's been long on talent, hasn't got a lot of big-time chances. But when he does flash some a little bit. But if you're a Latavius Murray, by the way, Murray has been used as a heavy workload with the Denver Broncos since they released Melvin Gordon. So, and of course, remember Chase Edmonds, who they traded for, is also on IR. He's not available as well. Slipping down, we get further down the list. These are guys we're less confident in, but Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. Ingram does get some base work, but that Saints offense just, even Kamara has not looked great this year. So I'm not overly excited to start Ingram if something happened to Kamara. Kenneth Walker. Now I put Travis Homer here over DJ Dallas. You can flip it any way you want. I personally don't have a preference. I like Travis Homer because of his, he seems to be the lead guy when he's healthy, so I would lean slightly towards him. Damian Pearson, here's a name that we forgot about, Eno Benjamin. Eno Benjamin showed that he has the flashes to handle the workload. If something happened to Damian Pearson, I do think you could look at Rex Burkhead as well. I understand that, but maybe Eno Benjamin takes on that role. And finally, Saquon Barkley is Gary Brightwell. You know, they do have Matt Breda, who comes from the Buffalo Bills and played with Brian Daboll, but I think Gary Brightwell is the guy that I would prefer in that scenario. Now, is there any other handcuffs you want to talk about before we move on, Scott?
Yeah, that's a good call there. I like the mention of the kind of the continuity, if you will, Bob, with Breida. Again, he was supposed to be a starter with the Niners too. So a lot of those guys come out of that Shanahan offense. Yeah, I want to double back here on the Eagles. I've been a long time, pseudo hater, I guess, on Miles Sanders, but I've also really loved Kenny Gainwell. Now, Miles Sanders this year has exploded. He's doing very well, obviously, and the main difference is he's scoring touchdowns. Last year he scored 0, this year 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns on the ground. He's doing very well. Last week he was actually the running back 2 on the week there with 143 rushing yards. He's only been over 100 twice this year, but he did also score 2 touchdowns. So it's going to be Miles Sanders, and you had mentioned Boston Scott is also in the mix, not to mention Jalen Hurts is also a top running back for the Eagles as well. However, we're talking handcuffs right now, and if Miles Sanders were to go down, and of course we're not trying to hex anybody, but if he were to go down, Gainwell for me is going to be that guy who's going to get the lead back. Obviously, Boston Scott will be available, and maybe they throw or run more with Jalen Hurts, but Gainwell is a guy that this time of year for the last 2 years I've been stocking up on anyway. And I haven't used very often because Miles Sanders has stayed healthy, thankfully, for those who are managing him. But if we're talking handcuff season, look, I'm buying into the player, but I'm also buying into the notable workload and the offense. I know the Eagles are going to run the ball 40 times a game. I know that the top running back is going to get 15, 20 touches, not to mention they throw to him as well, and they use him on the goal line also. I have long said for the last couple of years that when I see Kenny Gainwell run in limited opportunity, he can do what Miles Sanders does. He just doesn't get the work Miles Sanders does. So if he becomes that number one guy, I'm very confident Kenny Gainwell puts up Miles Sanders numbers. And right now, Kenny Gainwell is available on all waivers unless maybe that guy took him in a Miles Sanders league. So for me, Kenny Gainwell is going to be a top-notch priority that I'm looking to gather for free, again, on any of my bench spots.
All right, let's jump down to the – now that we've gotten through the running backs – I do want to talk quickly about wide receivers. Now, Sky, you want to check that private chat? Let me know who you want to talk about here. I'm interested to hear who you want to speak to. But I'm going to run down the list of the wide receiver handcuffs. Now, this is important because, listen, when you get to the playoffs, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have your studs. You're going to have the guys who got you there, and you're going to want to play those guys no matter what. Now, there is exceptions. You're going to have the wide receiver 3 maybe float around, but for the most part, you've got studs that you want to talk about, right? So I do want to say that there is importance to this because a lot of these guys you could find on waivers in most cases. Now, let's talk quickly about the Chargers wide receivers. We have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, who we've already got a preview all season long about what it looks like with those guys out. And we've seen Josh Palmer and DeAndre Carter perform in big games. Now, listen, you have Justin Herbert playing at a little bit better now. Now, listen, the Chargers offensive line is going to be a disaster this week. They're down 3 starters. Listen, I'm worried about it. But anyway, my point is, though, Mike Williams is out again this week. So look at Josh Palmer and Michael Carter. I'm actually putting DeAndre Carter in my lineup for Mike Williams just this week. Not a bad option here. Another one I want to talk about here. I'm going to get your opinion on this one, Sky, as well. We got Deebo Samuel and Ayuk and Juwan Jennings, who someone's been very good in the slot. I know you have a couple. You're a 49ers fan here. So is there Juwan Jennings? Would you have any interest if those guys went down, or would you look at somebody else? Danny Gray, I think, is another guy that you like a lot. So talk to me a little bit about that San Francisco 49ers situation.
Yeah, Danny Gray is going to be a deep dynasty dude. I do love the talent. I just don't think he's ready yet for redraft. Juwan Jennings would be the guy, I guess. But again, Bob, honestly, if you're talking any of these handcuffs, and first of all, I'm not going to divulge too much in the Chargers. You've already done that. I think we know. But those are Josh Palmer and DeAndre Carter need to be just on everybody's roster. They're high-profile handcuffs, but they're also getting work even when those guys are healthy. So they're no-brainers for me. Deebo and Ayuk are 1 and 2. I would argue right now that actually Ayuk's the number one. I said that 3-4 weeks ago, and we've seen it without big plays from Deebo. Ayuk's getting more work. But then you also have Kittle. You also have CMC out of the backfield, plus the run game, and Jimmy just not generally throwing too much. So, yes, Juwan Jennings would be the third guy there as a wide receiver, but I don't know that he's worth a roster spot, to be honest with you, when we have some other names on this list at the wide receiver position. I think just get more work as a true handcuff.
Okay. All right, let's jump on to a couple other ones here, too. We have Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb, and I do think that Noah Brown, who, by the way, flashed a lot earlier this season, I know that he's kind of fallen by the wayside. We have Odell Beckham luring over the Cowboys, and he might be on the team, too. But if Odell doesn't join the team, you know, if something happens to Gallup, he re-aggers a knee injury, or something has CeeDee Lamb, Noah Brown looked very good, and he did that mostly without Dak Prescott, who's playing very well. So he's someone to monitor as well. Christian Kirk and Jamal Agnew. Now, Jamal Agnew is not someone of a household name, but this guy is a touch monster. When he gets touches, he just produces. I don't know. He's the most annoying person for fantasy managers ever. Like last week, here's my rant. I had Kirk and I had Evan Ingram in my lineup in a must win. And Trevor Lawrence goes bonkers throwing to Zay Jones and freaking Jamal Agnew, and then he throws a touchdown to Marvin Jones because
Jermichael Hasty, baby.
Yeah, God hates me. Anyway, so Davante Adams and Matt Collins. Listen, Matt Collins has been pretty solid in his own right this year. He's shown flashes. You have no Hunter Henry, no Darren Waller. If something happens to Davante Adams, I think that whole entire offense goes to shit. But Derek Carr has proven to be a talent elevator. Ask Nelson Aguilar and company how he's done for those guys. So Matt Collins could be someone there. You have Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen with KJ Osborne as well. So look for KJ Osborne, who's had good games himself, but it seems like that offense is not really supporting a third receiver this season like we thought. But if one of those guys went down, he could be solid as well. Isaiah McKenzie for Stephon Diggs. I think that Isaiah McKenzie's kind of flat. Over the last few weeks, he's kind of earned a bigger role in snap percentage. He's kind of outshadowed other guys like Dawson Knox, and Gabe Davis did find the end zone, but it was Isaiah McKenzie. So, Sky, talk to me quickly about Isaiah McKenzie. Do you think he's a must-have handcuff for a Diggs owner?
I absolutely do. Yeah. And we, you know, I've been a Gabe Davis guy. I mean, Gabe Davis, there's nobody that had more hype than Gabe Davis preseason at the wide receiver position. And rightfully so. I mean, he's had some massive games, but if not finding the touchdown, which by the way, if you didn't watch the game last night, you didn't see the play Josh Allen threw Gabe Davis on a broken play where Josh Allen was 70% out of bounds, but kept his feet. Just an incredible athletic throw. But without that broken play touchdown, Gabe Davis gives you 2 catches, 2 touchdowns, you know, two targets for nothing, saves the day. Now on the other side though, and what's been interesting, man, and I tweeted this out last night, Gabe Davis, when I watch these games, because I've got Gabe Davis and my brother has Stephon Diggs in this league we're in together, so we watch Bills games pretty closely. Stephon Diggs obviously is the monster, we all know that, but Gabe Davis is the guy getting double coverage most of the time. And I need to find a metric to like prove this, but every time I see a target to Gabe Davis, he's got two or three guys around him. It's insane. And Stephon Diggs is running the entire field with a single coverage. It blows my mind. Nonetheless, the third guy open though, all the time. And Isaiah McKenzie is open in space. The last four games here. Now against Cleveland in week 11, he had just one target, no catches. He got injured in that game. But against Minnesota, 4 for 4, 37 yards. Against Detroit, 10 targets on Thanksgiving, 6 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Last night, 5 for 5 against New England, 44 yards. So he's not going to give you a big play percentage necessarily. But if we think back to last year's Bills, we have that third run there, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, if you will. PPR guy that can help bolster your roster. And if Gabe Davis or Stephon Diggs happen to go down the stretch, we know that the Bills have a pass happy offense, and you know, Josh Allen has progressed as a quarterback. Obviously he's going to find that open guy. And lately it has been McKenzie. So Stephon Diggs obviously is top rostered. Gabe Davis probably is too. So if you're talking about an actual handcuff on this team, it's going to be McKenzie available in your rosters. And I would love to have that kind of a guy on my roster just in case.
All right, let's jump down too. So we have the Eagles wide receivers, Brown and Smith. You also have Quez Watkins, who I think he's flashed a little bit more now with the Dallas Goedert injury. If something were to happen to one of those guys, this kid playing with an MVP candidate could be a solid player down the stretch as well. Metcalf and Lockett with Marquise Goodwin. Marquise Goodwin has played pretty well this season and has looked good in expanded roles in previous years. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, folks, has been healthy and hasn't really been huge in the box score just yet. But if something happens to Evans or Godwin, you could look at Julio Jones down the stretch as well. And the final one's Terry McLaurin for Jahan Dotson. I think Jahan Dotson has been falling back once you got Taylor Heinicke in there. But I think if something happens to McLaurin, Dotson would kind of reemerge again. But what's your thoughts about those final four? Any of those guys stand out?
I like that, man. Let me throw a shout out to Julio just because we're running out of time to do that in his career. And he's been one of my favorite players ever in the NFL. So again, not crazy stats. Obviously he's not Julio Jones anymore. We know that, but over the last couple of games, he's been healthy, right? Since week 8, they had a bye week in week 11, 4 targets, 5, 5, and 4, nothing crazy, but he's got 2 touchdowns in those 4 games. And he's got over 40 yards in both of those games. Now I bring this up specifically, the Buccaneers this week play the Saints. We know Mike Evans and Marshon Lattimore pretty much are like UFC when they play each other. Because Marshon Lattimore kind of punks Mike Evans, period. I mean, we know Brady's going to kind of force feed him when he can, but this is going to be a heavy Chris Godwin game, which I love because I've got Godwin in all my leagues because somehow he was drafted in the 8th round because he was injured, took advantage of that all summer long. But don't be surprised if Julio Jones, he's like a deep DFS guy for me this week. Don't be surprised if Brady looks 2 plays into the game, Marshon and Evans are just boxing each other. Okay, I'm going to leave those two alone. You go Godwin and you go Julio while he's healthy. Julio could have 5, 6, 8 targets in this game. I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe a touchdown. So Julio Jones is not Julio Jones that we remember, but he is a high-quality third option on a mostly high-quality offense in a week where things could get weird with Mike Evans. And he always has that, you know, maybe a hamstring injury away. And Chris Godwin isn't always healthy either. So while he's healthy, Julio Jones is rosterable if you have an open spot.
All right. I think for the tight end handcuff segment, I want to talk quickly about just 2 guys, because I think it's only really 2 guys that actually matter because we've seen some flashes from their backups. Listen, Zach Ertz went down and, you know, Trey McBride has not been good. Dallas Goedert went down, and we don't even hear from the Eagles tight end. So I get that. But there's 2 guys. It's Travis Kelce and Noah Gray. I think Noah Gray has been on the field a decent amount already. They've been utilizing more 2 tight end sets with the injuries to the receiving core. And I think he's someone that I probably would trust more than this. I would rather pick up Noah Gray and play him than stream a tight end, like try to play with like trying to figure out Robert Tonyan is going to have a good week, or, you know, Gerald Everett even to an extent. And the same thing goes for Mark Andrews with Isaiah Likely. And listen, Josh Oliver just had a nice game too. It looks like they're playing more 2 tight end sets anyway. I do believe that Josh Oliver was a revenge game. I do think that they purposely wanted to get him going against the Jags. That's just a hint for me. But I do think Isaiah Likely is someone that I want on my team as well. Any thoughts about these guys, or are you just good with both of them?
Yeah, I mean, those are the two obvious ones. Certainly in Dynasty, these guys should definitely be rostered here. Isaiah Likely more than Noah Gray because Travis Kelce's just infinite, but Mark Andrews has been hit or miss. Obviously, when he's healthy, though, he's that whole offense. I'm going to throw a couple of other deeper names out here just in case you're streaming or somebody gets hurt. First of all, it's dumb, but if you can play within the rules, I think Taysom Hill this time of year is worth rostering. You can play him as a tight end if you need to. And Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston are not necessarily the option there. So keep an eye on Taysom Hill if you have an extra spot. Also, let me just kind of go way into the barrel here. Cade Otton and or Cameron Brate, I think, are a good option for Tom Brady. He hyper-targets the tight end position in the red zone specifically. Cade Otton was doing quite well for like 2 months when Cameron Brate was hurt. 7, 3, 5, 5, 6, 3 targets before last week's goose egg when Cameron Brate came back. But that's a nice option there. Also, Jelani Woods came out of nowhere for the Colts last week, but big time prospect. 8 catches on 9 targets for 98 yards last week. I like that just in case Mo Ali Cox can't go. And then I'll throw out the Browns as well. Late catch there for David Njoku, but I do think that Harrison Bryant also is an option potentially. And Deshaun Watson has targeted his tight ends over the years. So I do kind of like the free square there with either one of the streaming Browns, if you will. And there's some other names here aren't even handcuffs, but the streamable options. Maybe Greg Dulcich, you could make another stab on. If Juwan Johnson is still out there somehow, you can pick him up. Noah Fant as well. And maybe even hit the well with Tyler Conklin if available too.
All right. So we're getting a little bit, listen, I get it, Sky. It's so hard not to just start talking about streamers. This is a handcuff show, right? What are you doing? You're going rogue on me. I still love you to death, but let's talk. See, now there are players out there I would drop, but I wouldn't drop you though, even no matter what. I still love you to death. But this is the easy part is to tell you all this stuff. And the problem is we need to also factor in what players are sitting on the ends of these rosters right now that haven't either produced or just really aren't going to – they're just flex plays at best anyway. So what's the point of even rostering them if they're not difference makers? So I'm going to give you a list, and you're just going to tell me yes or no, would you be willing to drop them for one of these handcuffs we talked about today if you didn't have – I'm going to bring up A.J. Dillon, just assume you don't have Aaron Jones. And let's say, for example, would you drop A.J. Dillon to pick up Kareem Hunt if you had Nick Chubb? That's going to be the scenario, okay? Let's do this. Ready? Here's the rundown. First one is Devonta Smith, who's been meh, average, has big games. Would you drop Devonta Smith?
No.
Cortland Sutton.
God, this is my issue. Yeah, if you haven't been able to trade him and you really needed one of these handcuff running backs, sure.
Alan Lazard.
Ooh, quick stab to you, huh, Bob?
Hurts. Hurts.
Yes. Broken thumb for Rodgers, Christian Watson. Don't love Lazard right now.
Adam Thielen coming off his big game, but prior to that, he was not good.
Yeah, I'm okay to drop Thielen if you need to.
Raheem Mostert.
Tough. Assuming you don't have Jay Willie, sure, I can drop Mostert.
Kareem Hunt.
Tough one. If you don't have Chubb, I want Kareem Hunt anyway just because Watson's back and I want to see what happens, so I'll keep him one more week.
A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, tough. I'm willing to drop him.
I think I had Dillon here. Is it Iowan or just O-N? Dillon. Is it Iowan? All right, whatever.
No, D-I-L-L-O-N.
Okay, it's just O-N.
Dillion.
Dillion. All right, I want to just make sure we're putting the right names out there, folks. I apologize for that. Yeah, all right, anyway, we're right here. All right, A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, I'm not interested in A.J. Dillon.
Dawson Knox.
No. He hasn't been on my roster anyway.
Tyler Boyd.
Jamar Chase may or may not come back. I'm going to hold Tyler Boyd until Jamar Chase is healthy.
Jerry Jeudy.
Not interested in Broncos in general.
Deontay Johnson.
Keep him around. Yeah, he gets the volume.
Jacoby Myers.
No.
Brandon Cooks.
No.
Josh Palmer.
Keep him.
Curtis Samuel.
No.
Darius Slayton?
Yes, because he's been getting the volume too. He's got big play potential.
Drake London.
Love the kid, and I love Marcus, but no.
Damian Harris.
Damian Harris is healthy scratch, and he's hurt anyway. Ramondre is the guy. I can cut
him. Rondale Moore.
Rondale Moore with Hollywood back, not interested.
There you go, folks. All right, folks, there you have it. We not only broke down handcuffs from the running backs to the wide receivers to the tight ends, but we also broke down for you some of the key players you can drop off your rosters to pick up these handcuffs. It is extremely important to remember, once you make the playoffs, folks, you only got 3 weeks. You're playing each week. So please do not lose Dalvin Cook and then have to play some schmuck at RB. You should have Alexander Mattison on your roster. Sky, before we close the show, any final thoughts about handcuffs, anything about player drops, anything you want to tell the people?
I think this is the time of year to not get cute with your roster. You're trying to make the best roster moving into the playoffs, but you have different mindset. If you have a top team, you've already clinched a playoff spot, I would start getting all these running backs, maybe even an extra DST or a kicker, depending on the matchups, the outdoors, right? Last night, I had Nick Folk and Tyler Bass, right, in this outdoor windy situation, right? I started flopping guys out just in case. So start looking at kickers and DSTs ahead of time if you can. And running backs are very, very important. I would rather have five handcuff running backs than three extra wide receivers on my team, because you can always find receivers on your bench.
There you go, folks. That's all we got for the rest of the day. Once again, this is the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. Make sure you check us out. Subscribe. Hit a like. Follow us on the YouTube channel. Also, make sure you jump over to IG and TikTok at Razzball Fantasy. And, of course, make sure you go to Razzball.com for all the great content from all our great writers, including that guy over there, Sky Gawasco. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby Lamarco. You can follow me at Bobby Lamarco on Twitter. I want to thank my co-host for today, at Sky Gawasco. You can follow him at Sky Gawasco on Twitter. Make sure you're here on Sunday, folks. Sky, you joining us on Sunday? You're going to be there?
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. We'll see you on Sunday, folks. We are out of here.